Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. How much time do you spend each day thinking about and really considering the various blessings afforded you by Jesus Christ our Lord? The more you spend time actually thinking about the specific material and spiritual blessings that have been given you, the more you will grow to be a sincerely thankful disciple of Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bible now that we may learn how to increasingly consider all the different blessings in our lives.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a wonderful, brisk Sunday morning here in Texas, early in the studio. Stephen, let me have the window open. So you just got the beautiful forest out there. And man, it just feels good to be here. Good to be in the Bible. I'm thankful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We've been talking about thankfulness. We've been talking about Thanksgiving. And hopefully you have been practicing Thanksgiving more and more and more as you've listened to these teachings. Hopefully you're taking more time to consider just the overwhelming blessings in every aspect of your life, spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and relationally. We've been talking about how, and I confess this week when I was talking to a lady that we spend more time, that I could see in my own heart that there are days where I actually spend more time in frustration, irritation, and agitation with circumstances and particularly individuals and people. I spend more time in that state than I do giving thanks and being thankful. And it's wrong. It really is wrong. It is actually sin. I know that's hard for people to understand because we don't understand the depth of sin and what sin really is in its various forms. But sin, we sin in our thoughts first. Then it moves from our thoughts to our words and then from our words to our actions. As we grow in Christ, as we grow and mature in Christ, we are more and more convicted. We experience the conviction over our sin by the Holy Spirit in a deeper level. And we do grow to sin less. I was watching a short where John MacArthur was beautifully explaining the fact, and I'm paraphrasing here, that as we grow in Christ, there's this incredible dynamic that although we sin less, we feel worse. Because as we grow closer to Christ, we really just want to please Him more. When we're new Christians or baby Christians, we sin more and still feel fine or feel better. So it's important that we understand that not having a heart of thanksgiving, is not okay. It is at a level sin because we've been given so much. Now, when I say that, it's not, there's no condemnation. There shouldn't be any shame, right? You shouldn't feel guilt, but there should be a conviction in your heart when you examine yourself. Again, since you've been listening to these teachings, have you begun to spend more time being thankful? How do you do that? We were discussing in Bible study for the last couple of weeks this principle of thanksgiving. And again, as I said, I've explained this once. We went around and everybody had spoke about, how much more they had tried to practice it. And then a few days later, it was either Wednesday or Thursday, Stephen had sent out a text to the group saying that he was sitting there, he was working, but, he was meditating on how he can walk out this principle, how he can be more thankful when he's not feeling thankful for anything at the moment. He knows he's been blessed. He knows all these things, but if you're trying to practice the principle and nothing is coming up in your heart, you know, how do you do that? How do you give thanks when there's no urge in you? There's no, you know, there's nothing compelling you to be thankful for. And I had texted back that our problem as Christians is at a very certain level that we're lazy. We're lazy in the fact that we don't take the time to meditate on all the incredible blessings in our lives. We don't take the time to meditate on how much we've been given. We don't take time to meditate about, you know, the kind of life we're living and blessed to have. And we don't take the time to think about that there are, you know, millions or billions of people that are living with far greater struggles, far greater difficulties, far greater hardships than we are. And again, it's because we are just, you know, and I'm speaking for myself, and hopefully everyone can recognize in themselves that we are myopic, right? And we are selfish, right? We're consistently thinking about me and my life and, you know, my fun and my pleasure and my fantasy football team and, you know, my hobbies and, you know, my finances, you know, my wife, my kids. And so my mind is absorbed on myself. If we're going to grow in Thanksgiving, we need to begin to spend time thinking about and considering the various countless blessings in our lives. So how do you do it? You know, you can stop the tape here in a minute and just begin to think about, you know, any various blessing in your life. Think about your health. Begin to really think about the fact that, you know, if you're in good health today, right? Very few people are in perfect health. I know some people that are in perfect health, but for the most part, you don't have anything, you know, terribly wrong with you. And meditate on that for a minute, and you will see that, you know, you will see that that Thanksgiving will begin to germinate in your heart. Just even saying it, you know, I am thankful, Father. Thank you for the health that you've given me. And I'm thankful because I'm aware of people that don't have very good health. People I know and don't know. I was reading a news article on my phone today that Deion Sanders, he was still one of my favorite athletes of all time, prime time, played for the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, he's in terrible pain. And he has blood clots in his feet. He's already had to have two toes removed. Again, I don't know him. I've never met him. But I was praying for healing. He's in pain. He's the head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes, a college football team, a Division I college football team. And, you know, he's having to sit on the sideline. You know, he already had to have, I believe it was his pancreas removed because it was cancerous. So, And again, he is one of obviously countless millions. All of us know people in our lives personally. I don't know him personally, but just reading that, you know, I was grieved and I was praying for him. So as we begin to meditate on the blessings in our lives, and again, I just gave you one. If, you know, if you live in a home or an apartment, and you have a roof over your head and you have the finances to pay your bills, meditate on that and go to the Lord and be thankful of the way you get to live. Again, me just saying that is something is stirring in my heart that I need to be thankful, that I need to be more thankful for the life that Jesus has afforded myself and my wife. You know, my children are healthy. Just think about parents that have sick children and what a grief that is. And then as you're meditating and giving thanks, you can even pray for those in your life. It'll move you to pray for those who don't have it as well as you. One of the great impediments to us being thankful is we don't really realize that nothing in this life really belongs to us. that everything in this life, including my very person, is the property of Jesus Christ. Turn to Psalm 24, verse 1. Psalm 24, verse 1. And let this verse sink in. Because we don't realize this, we actually think that we are the ones that own everything, that our own hands or our own hard work has given us all that we have. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. I'll read that again. The earth is the Lord's, Jesus, and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. So I'll say again, let that verse sink in. Because probably the biggest impediment to thankfulness is that we're not thankful because, you know, we believe that, you know, that we deserve our lifestyle. You know, we very well may have worked hard for it. Again, it was the Lord who created you, the Lord who knitted you together in your mother's womb, the Lord who gave you the mind that you have. Everything that you have is a result of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ our Lord. The fact that you have air to breathe, the fact that you live in a country where you can go out and work and make money, whether it's this country or any first world country. The fact that you have a brain and a mind that can reason. The fact that there's an infrastructure that you've been placed in where you can go out and work. The fact that, you know, the Lord has blessed you with a spouse. The Lord has blessed you with kids. All of that is a result of his grace and mercy to you and I. Now, hopefully just thinking of that, thankfulness is starting to bubble up a little bit in your heart. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. I mean, clean, right? For those not watching on YouTube, I'm just slapping my hands saying that there it is, right? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. So as you meditate on that and you actually understand that everything that you have from the very life that you have, the fact that you're a living being, all the way down to all the other blessings that you have in your life, the countless blessings are a result of the grace and mercy of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Holy Spirit. And then if you're in Christ today, if you're truly in Christ today, if you're trusting in Jesus and clinging to Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation of your soul, deliverance from eternal hell, and to bring you to heaven when you die, then you have spiritual life living in you. And the amount of thankfulness that we ought to have, that although we are hopeless, desperate, wicked sinners, that we're headed for an eternity in hell, an eternity of misery in hell, that even though we were terrible sinners, our God himself, God the Son, Jesus, willingly entered this world for you and for me and for all humanity. Went on to live a perfect, righteous, sinless life on your behalf, as you've already heard me say, that you could never live. Jesus entered this world and for 33 and a half years lived a perfect, sinless life for you and for me. And I'm thinking about that now as I'm saying this. And again, I just want to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. How much time do you spend thinking about that? obviously, very few Christians spend any time at all thinking about it. Again, we take it for granted all that Jesus has done for us. Again, I wasn't planning to go here, but it's, you know, I believe this is led by the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going to turn to Philippians 2 and just read what Jesus has done for us again. So when you're meditating on these things, the point in all this, as I explained to the group, to Stephen's question, is start to think about and consider, start to intentionally meditate on various different blessings in your physical life, and then begin to meditate on the incredible spiritual blessings that you've been afforded in Jesus Christ. The fact that your sins have been forgiven, the fact that you don't have to pay the debt for your own sin, the fact that that debt was paid for you by Jesus is a massive deal. Jesus tells a whole parable of the unmerciful servant who was forgiven a debt of about $5 billion, but yet wouldn't forgive a debt of $50. Had really no understanding of the massive debt that he had been forgiven and the discipline that that individual came under for that lack of thankfulness and his unwilling to forgive nominal debts is severe. And again, that parable is a picture to us that in Christ, we have been forgiven a debt of sin that is so immense that we ought to forgive all, right? Any and all of those who have sinned against us. And listen, some people have hurt us very, very badly. And you know, and that hurts. But yes, Jesus expects us to genuinely forgive them, even pray for them and pray for their salvation. But I'll say again, you want to think about this, that the Bible says that your debt was so bad, that your sin was so bad, that the only way for your heavenly Father to prevent you from spending an eternity of misery and torment in hell that you earned and that I earned, that's what we deserve. That's the right punishment for our selfish and wicked sinfulness. But there was a way, only one way. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only way that your debt could have been forgiven was for God himself to become a man and to live the perfect righteous life in your place and on your behalf that you could never live, die a torturous death on the cross on your behalf and in your place that you deserve to die, and then to be raised from the dead. And when you believe that, if you're a Christian today, you believe that, and you're trusting in Jesus, you're clinging to Jesus, you've called out to Jesus, right? Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's not our words that save us, but you've run to the foot of the cross. You've acknowledged that you need a savior. You know that you're hopeless, but you believe that your God, Jesus, came into this world, lived for you, died for you, and rose again. And from this place, you called out to him. You've asked him to come into your heart, to be the Lord of your life, to save you from your sin, to rescue you from an eternity in hell, and to bring you to heaven when you die. Now, when you think about that, the more you think about that, again, we've talked about thinking about all the natural material blessings the Lord has given you in your physical life, but begin to meditate on the cross. Begin to meditate on what Jesus has done for you. And again, there ought to be just an overflow of thankfulness. Again, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to start reading in verse 1. And, Yeah, we got about 10 minutes more here. Paul says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, just when he says that, right, you ought to think about it. You ought to be really encouraged, right, and thankful. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, it's a rhetorical question. If any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Again, a person who is genuinely thankful, a person who is taking the time, as hopefully you're doing, to more and more think about all the blessings in your life, the physical material blessings and the incredible spiritual blessings you've been given, okay? The more it will drive you to be a person like this. Thankfulness is a massively important virtue, okay? And again, we're called, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul tells us to give thanks in all circumstances, even when we don't feel thankful, because we know that the Lord is going to work that circumstance in a way that will be a blessing to us, that will know him better, okay? But a person, to be this kind of person, okay? A person who's encouraged from being united with Christ, the person who has comfort from the love of Christ, a person that recognizes fellowship with the Holy Spirit, a person that has tenderness and compassion, okay, is someone who will want to be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose with those who are like that. And from that place, you'll be able to more and more, verse 3, Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. I mean, Lord, I'm sorry, but I'm thankful that I'm reading this. I'm thankful that I have this Bible because I need to practice that better. How about you? Verse 3, Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition. There's an area of repentance. Or vain conceit, right? What is conceit, right? Conceit was when you believe yourself superior, okay? It's terrible. It's gross. When you think you're better than someone else, when you think you're superior to someone else, just in your person, okay? You may very well be a better accountant, okay? You may be a better pickleball player, okay? But that doesn't make you just superior in your being. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. When you think about that, you should realize that, you know what? There's a lot of room for improvement for me to, in humility, consider others better than myself. And I want to go before Jesus and say, Lord, I'm sorry because I often don't live my life in humility, considering others more important than me, their life more important than mine, their struggles more important than mine. And I'm thankful that he shows me that so that I can repent and make the adjustments. Verse 4, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Do you know the more you do this, the more thankfulness will naturally pour out of you? Verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Again, the single greatest way for you to grow in thankfulness will be to think about Jesus, okay? Not generic God, to think about Jesus, to meditate on Jesus, to read the scriptures and just really see, you know, how Jesus lived and what he said. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. What does that mean? Jesus is God, but he didn't hold on to it and demand that he be treated as God. He didn't grasp onto it and say, you know what? I'm God. Treat me like God. He could have demanded that he be treated as God. He could have unmade the whole world. He could have done anything he wanted, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Just thinking of this, I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit is showing me. I'm not thankful that I'm not like this. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Who being in very nature God, he is almighty God, but yet didn't demand, didn't grasp onto that and say, treat me like God. Did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Verse 7, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. I mean, again, he's almighty God, and yet he humbled himself, which apparently is to become nothing, right? For Jesus to be like me is apparently to be God and to become a man, apparently is to be made nothing, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So again, I'm going to wrap up here, but begin to meditate. Use your Bible. As you read your Bible, again, meditate on what you're reading. Begin to think about, again, all that's been done for you in the person of Christ. And out of that, begin to give thanks more and more and more and more. Begin again to think about, you know, have an exercise where two or three times a day, you just stop for a minute. You just think, say you're driving in your car and just think about the fact that you have that vehicle to take you, you know, over long distances. And think about what your life would be without that. Think about what your life would be without that vehicle, that car, that truck, that SUV, if you didn't have it. Because there are millions who don't have that blessing. And when you think about that, you will actually be thankful for it. Okay? So what am I saying? In order for you to grow, to have a thankful heart, you and I have to stop being lazy, and we have to be willing to meditate on, you know, on the blessings that we have been given, wherever it is. Okay? Again, you're going out for lunch. Just spend a moment, you know, spend a minute to think about the fact that you get to go out to lunch, that you get to pick whatever you want to eat. And that the Lord has granted you that, that Jesus has blessed you with that, that that's not something that you're owed. And then again, there ought to be a joy of repentance, because when I think of that, I'm grieved that that's how I live much of the time. Most of the time, as a matter of fact. So again, take time, begin to take time, and do an inventory. Answer yourself just very honestly and candidly of how many moments you take time to meditate on the blessings in your life, physical, material blessings, and then, you know, the spiritual blessings. And for anyone listening to this, the automatic conviction from the Holy Spirit ought to be not nearly enough. Maybe I do it once, twice a day. Most people rarely do it at all. And then begin to make the adjustments. Begin to, you know, say today, you know, I am going to be more thankful. And again, all this is leading up to, you know, a Thanksgiving Day. We want this to be a daily lifestyle. But again, we've talked about why Thanksgiving Day was created, a day set aside to give thanks to our Heavenly Father throughout the whole day. And of course, we may be a little thankful here and there, but we don't set apart the whole day. And we want to begin to do that more and more and more. Of course, not just on Thanksgiving, but all the days of our life. So, Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness, your favor, your grace. We thank you for your love. Father, we thank you just for the countless blessings in our lives. We thank you that we get to do these teachings, Father. We thank you that we have this Bible to teach us how to live. We thank you, Father, for just all the overwhelming provision in our lives that we get to do all that we get to do. Father, we thank you for our health. We thank you for your mercy. But more than anything, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying that torturous, humiliating death on the cross that we deserve to die. We thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for being our guide, our counselor, our comforter. We thank you for living inside of us. And with thanksgiving, we ask you to seal this to our hearts now. Help us to be more thankful men and women in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen.